today in the book of Habakkuk. We don't name our kids these names nowadays. Reason for it. Amen. Just to give you a minute to get set there. Title of the message this morning is Living by Faith. And I'm going to be looking at some verses in chapters 1 and 2. But one of the key verses is in chapter 2 in verse 4, the last part. And the Bible says there, but the just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by his faith. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, already for the blessings we've had, the video we saw, the encouragement there, the singing from Paul. We're thankful for that. Lord, our fellowship that we have amongst ourselves, Lord, it's a blessing. Lord, help us not to take our fellowship among each other for granted. Lord, and praying now for just an awareness of your presence here today. Lord, that you speak to each heart that's here. You know every need. I pray we're encouraged. Lord, I pray we'll face the truth of things. And Lord, then at the same time, Lord, I pray our faith will be increased, that we can trust you with everything in our life. And we'll put the service into your hands today. Before I close, it's my prayer, Lord, if there's any lost here or listening, Lord, that they'll be saved today. And as Brother said there on George Street, you know, if you died today, Lord, do you know where if you'd be in heaven? Lord, so something to think about for sure. And we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Living by faith. We see the prophet there, Habakkuk, that's how you actually say it. Habakkuk was the prophet of God. You know, he was living in a dark time, and I'll read a little bit of that to you here in just a second in chapter 1. And it was a dark time in world history. It was a dark time in the history of God's people, particularly as well. And as I read it and as we read and look at it, you know, we can kind of relate to that, you know, what's going on in the world today. And, you know, one of the things for us as Christians, you know, when we get saved, we're saved from the sin problem. But, you know, there's still the life problem that goes on. We still have problems in life. You don't get saved today and all of a sudden all your troubles just go away. I mean, you have the trouble of where you're going to spend eternity is solved. You know, you've got that problem. Victory over sin, you can have that and all those things. But we still have things that come along, trials, tribulations, those kind of things that happen, life's problems. And so, you know, how do we live? The Bible says that we're to live by faith, that we have to live by faith. So we still have to live in this world. God has chosen for us to live in this world, and that's what I want to talk about today. In verse 1, the Bible says, the book which Habakkuk the prophet did see, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. And I want to kind of speak on that just a little bit. You know, what did he really see as he looked at things? And we'll talk about it briefly here. And we got to decide whether, which we will decide, was he looking at reality or perception? You know, there's a difference sometimes between reality and perception. I mean, you could have reality and perception together, but sometimes it's different. I saw a picture on Facebook. I don't know who shared it. Somebody y'all might have seen it as well, but it was this picture that looked exactly like a big old rock with trees growing out that was on the bottom of it, like it was hanging in space, like it was going to either fallen or just sitting there in the air. The ground's down here. It looked exactly like that, and then it told you on there to turn it over, and when you turned it over, it was an island, a little small island in a lake that didn't have a ripple on it. It was like a glass, and the trees were on the island, and then you saw the trees around the lake that were reflected down on the water, which turned the whole thing topsy-turvy. I mean, the whole thing was upside down. Now, what you really saw when you were seeing what you saw. You saw a rock. You saw it looked like it was in midair to you. That was the perception of it, but it wasn't the reality of the situation. I saw one. There's another one that comes off. I've seen it on Facebook a couple times. And what it looks like when you, and the first time usually everybody sees it, it looks like a man walking down a path into the woods. But if you keep staring at it long enough, it's a black dog coming out of the woods walking right at you. And you start looking, but the way the dog's legs are and his tail and his head is positioned, it looks like the back of a man that's dressed in dark clothes, and he's just walking on a path like kind of fast into the woods. You keep looking, it's a dog coming out of the woods looking right at you. Boy, man, I mean, you know, you're talking about reality and perception. It's not exactly, you know, how we see it. So we're going to look first off, the very first point is Habakkuk watching. We're going to look at what he saw. Look in chapter 1, verse 2. We see him crying out. He's a prophet of God. He's crying out to God. And he says, O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Man, here's Habakkuk, and he's looking at what's going on in his nation, what's going on in his country. Now remember, this is God's people, by the way. He's looking at what's going on, and he cries out to God, and what did he see? He saw violence. He saw iniquity, which is sin of every kind. No doubt he saw corruption, injustice, misery, strife. He saw corruption in high places, corruption among the leaders of the country, corruption among the judges of the country. No, he wasn't reading the headlines from a newspaper today, although it sounds like he could be. I mean, doesn't it sound like just like what we're talking about? And I know you were probably thinking that already before I said it. And that just points out how relevant the Bible is even for today. The Bible's still relevant today because God knows what's going to happen, in the future. And so, when we start thinking about the things that go on in today, and we've got all of the things above, corruption in high places, all of them, we've got, iniquity abounds. I mean, crying out loud, we look at today, we're in the inclusion movement, homosexuality, the transgender movement, and the acceptance of it by society, which is one of the major things going on. Abortion up to and including full-term abortions, that's going to be okay. Yet at the same time, our lovely state has decided to do away with the death penalty. I guess if you're a baby in the womb, they can give you the death penalty. But if you commit some heinous crime, if you go out and kill a pregnant woman, they're going to give you with a double homicide. Doesn't make sense. And then they're going to give you the death penalty. So, we've got that kind of thing going on. Socialism, we see that, not to mention drugs, alcohol, pornography, all the things that are on the scene rampantly, by the way. Nothing's just small. It's all rampant. And when we see Habakkuk, what I like about him is he cries out to God and said, God, this is what I see about my nation right here. He was honest about the condition of his own country. All right, he's honest about the condition of his own country, and he saw a rapid deterioration of his own country. Now, how many of you want to know? I'll probably get somebody to be mad at me by the time this is all over with, but just bear with me and take it the right way. How many of you understand that this nation is rapidly deteriorating? I'm talking about the one we live in. It's rapidly deteriorating. I never in my life thought that we, in my lifetime, that we would see the things that we're seeing in this nation right now. Even 20 years ago, the difference. And then if you want to go, the farther back you go, the worse it is. You know, we never thought that we would see, and not only what's going on, is the acceptance of what's going on. That's the mind-blowing thing with me. And this isn't a message about how bad it is in the nation. I'm just using that to help us illustrate. And I mean, we got to deal with it, right? We're dealing with it. I understand that. So, we see that, and they even signed a bill. Not only are we going to support abortion in our country, we're going to fund abortions for other nations to do it. Like, we don't have nothing else to do with our money. We can't cut into the trillion, however many trillion-dollar debt we already have. We're going to send money to other nations so they can perform abortions, help them perform abortions. God going to honor that? I'm telling you, man, I mean, it's, we see this. And this is where I'll get in trouble. Happened before, happened again, I'm sure. You know, we talk about loving our country. And I want to love my country. I've lived overseas. I lived in Sicily for a year and a half. You know, I know how it is. I haven't lived everywhere in the world, but I've been other places in the world. And I like living in the USA. But I got to thinking about that, and I think really what we love, and I don't want to speak for you, but I'll speak for me, I love the ideal of my country. I love what it used to be, and it wasn't perfect. It wasn't perfect then, I know that. But I love what it used to be. I love the idea of what it could be. I still think democracy. I still think democracy and capitalism is better than socialism any day of the week. I've been over there. That's why all them people are coming across the border. Nobody comes to America because we're going to be socialists. They come over here because we're capitalists. They're leaving socialism. I believe all that. But let's face it. Let's be honest. For most of us, the nation is not the nation we grew up with. It's not. And there's a whole lot not to love. There's a lot not to love about this country. And I'm not picking on this country because here's the truth, folks. Where are you going to go? The moon? I mean, where else are you going to go? Because this is everywhere. It's not just here. That's why I'm not picking on us. Well, why don't you get up and leave? I'd go if there's a better place to go, but all the other problems, the countries are having the same problem. They're all dealing with the same thing, sin. They're dealing with living apart from God. So where are you going to go? I mean, I'm praying like everybody else. Man, I'd like to see it turn around. But we got to be honest with what it is. And that's what Habakkuk was doing when he looked at his country right there. And what he saw, and what he thought he saw, though, gave him some wrong impressions, really, that had to do with God. You know what? He saw all that, and he cried out to the Lord. And look how he worded it there. He said, Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Now, he thought God didn't hear. But see, that wasn't true. And so what happened was, he got this wrong. This is where perception and reality. His perception was that God didn't hear, and his perception was that God didn't care. You know, that God was indifferent towards the things that were going on in there. And he cried out to God about that. And see, a lot of times I think when we're looking, a lot of Christians are saying, man, you know, it's a wonder the Lord doesn't, you know, come back. And I wonder about that. You know, somebody getting ready to commit some heinous crime, why God doesn't strike them down with a lightning bolt? What, they need to get saved too, right? We're not as compassionate as God is. That's part of the reason. But you wonder, why does God... But I'm going to show you something. God does care. God's not indifferent towards those things. And look what happened in verse 5. And I'm not going to read it all. I'm just kind of picking some verses. You can fill in the thing later on when you're sitting around having afternoon coffee. You can read all of verse 5. And then he said, behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. This is God speaking back to Habakkuk. For I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful, and their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. He gave him an answer. He said, oh, I'm watching. No, I've already got a plan. I've already got it worked out. I'm going to raise up a nation. They're going to come in. And this is a terrible nation. The Chaldeans, they're part of the Babylonian Empire, the Babylonians. And he goes, I'm going to raise them up. And what he did was, I don't know if it was the answer. Well, I know it's not the answer he wanted, but he gave them a revelation, really, and not an explanation. But what he let him know, listen, I'm watching, I'm working. That's all you need to know. And I know God's watching and working today. God is watching today. He's watching everything. God's not indifferent. Listen, I expect the lost people to do what lost people do. But I expect God's people to do what God's people are supposed to do. And God expects it too. God expects it too. And God is not indifferent towards the sin of his people. He's not indifferent. And the Bible says that God will not be mocked. And he will recompense. That's what the Bible says. There's the long-suffering of God, and then there's an end to that, where God's not long-suffering anymore. There's a time that'll end. Now, this wasn't the answer that Habakkuk expected, and it's not the answer that he wanted. He wanted something else. You ever notice, though, you know, this is what happens. You know when, this is the side lesson on things, the psychology of things. When you get disappointed in someone, or you get discouraged with someone, it's because they didn't do what you expected them to do. That's when, and sometimes even with God, Like we say, God, here's the problem, here's how you ought to fix it, and God doesn't do it that way. And we'll get disappointed in that, or we get discouraged with that. And that's really, and sometimes even angry when people don't do what you expect them to do, you can get angry with that. And so Habakkuk, he was hoping, if you read over in chapter 3, you can kind of get this out of that, that he was hoping that God was going to send this sweeping revival through the nation and everything was going to get better and everything, you know, and that's what would happen. That would be the way God would take care of it, a sweeping revival. That would be a lot better than the Babylonians coming and carrying you away into captivity for hundreds of years. That's what happened. But that would be better than that, right? But God, here's the thing. God had warned them and warned them and warned them. He had sent prophet after prophet to tell them, and this is what's going to happen. He had sent national calamities. He had sent natural disasters. They had had drought. Listen to me. They had had droughts. They had had famines. They had had plagues. It's sinking in here just a little bit. How come y'all wearing a mask out there? Huh? It's sinking in right here. He had sent plagues to the land. And guess what? They didn't listen. It still didn't get his people. Really, God deals with his people more so than any other people. Not that he doesn't try to get people, but he's dealing with, this was Judah. This was their problem. This is what was going on. All those bad things I was reading about, it was God's people doing it. And instead of repenting, they hardened their hearts. And so Habakkuk hears this response from God. It didn't really answer any questions that he had. Actually, it kind of opened up another question, some more questions. And it got him to the second point. He got to wondering, and I skipped over a little bit of it. It's just talking about how terrible the Chaldeans were. But in verse 13, and you can see, he says, "Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity." He goes, so he knows. He said he knows God. He can't look on sin. "Wherefore lookest thou upon them," Chaldeans, "that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devour the man that is more righteous than he?" That's key right there, the man that is more righteous than he. I'm going to paraphrase that. This is what he's really saying, what he's actually saying. He's saying, Lord, how can you take this wicked nation that's more wicked than us, he thought. How can you take this wicked nation and let them come and devour us? Or in other words, chasing us with a people that's more wicked than we are. How can you do that? You can't look on sin. How can you take these sinful people and use them as a tool to chasten your people? That's really what he's telling him right there. Now, this is what he thought. He thought he was seeing an inconsistent God. First he thought he was seeing an unconcerned God or an uncaring God, God that wasn't paying attention. Now he thinks he sees an inconsistency in God. He's a believer. He's a believing God. He's just wondering about things right there. And he's wondering, how can this happen? See, unbelief and doubt are two different things. Unbelief is flat out rebellion against God. That's unbelief. Doubt is a different thing. Doubt only questions God. Maybe even gets angry with God. You know, old Jonah, man. Jonah was a believer. He believed there was a God. He was running from him, for crying out loud. I used an illustration the other night. But he ran from God. He believed in God. He thought God was wrong in choosing him. He didn't want to go preach to the Ninevites a lot of God's people, they've wondered about things. We doubt. Come on, tell it. You know, you doubt. Sometimes you doubt about things. Even maybe sometimes you get mad about things. I wonder why God's doing it that way. You try not to get angry because you know you shouldn't get angry with God. But you know, you just wonder why God's doing it that way. Maybe you get hurt. Maybe anger is disguised as hurt, you know, that way. But doubt is different than unbelief. Doubt is born out of a troubled mind. And so Habakkuk, he's praying to God. He's crying out to God, so we know he believes, but he just can't. It looks to him like God doesn't care when he sees all this wickedness going on in the world, and God let him know, listen, I'm on the throne. I got it under control. I'm watching. And then he thought, well, God, you're not doing it like I thought you ought to do it. Basically what he's saying, you know, I can't believe you're using them wicked people. They're more wicked than we are. That's really what he's saying right there. How can you use a wicked nation to punish your chosen people? And in his mind, like I said, they were more wicked than the people of Judah. Isn't that how we usually view somebody else's sins? You can do the same thing as somebody else's sins. They always did worse than you. At least I'm not like fill in the blank. We always find something. You're not, you know, isn't that funny? But I had a reason. I got an excuse. They don't. Yeah, they do. You just don't know what it is. We always look at somebody else's sin. It always seems like, but it's different. You know what? Listen, I'm going to tell you what the difference is between sin of God's people and sin of the lost. It's different, all right. It's worse. It's worse. That's how it's different. It's not better. It's worse just because of the fact that we're God's people. Habakkuk probably thought, God, you could use somebody else or some other way. You can, like I said, he already wanted a revival is really what he would have liked to have. But were they really worse? Like I said, no, listen. They had a reason. They had a reason, not an excuse. Listen, God doesn't excuse sins even of the lost people. But that's the reason. Why do lost people sin? Because they're lost. Why do sinners sin? They're lost. That's what we get saved from when we get saved, right? And so they had a reason. But the Jews, listen, God's people, they had the prophets. We already talked about that. They had the Word of God, which they had some of the law. They had the law. They had the works of God. They had seen God had done things. Mighty, mighty works for them and around them, with them. They were sinning against a flood of light and love. They were sinning against God. I mean, God had done everything under the sun. They sinned against all that. What's worse? What do you think's really worse? I mean, I could hear it now. The Babylonians or Chaldeans, they could have been on the other side saying, I can't believe them are God's people. Crying out loud, they're doing the same things we're doing. What's different? That's what they would have said. What's different? Huh? Iniquity, sin, corruption, injustice. What's different? And what would the God's people said? Nothing. They couldn't have said anything. They would have been right. And so all these things that were going on, man, everything's happening. Habakkuk's talking to God. God's saying, this is what I'm doing. It started to affect his personal walk with God. All this was affecting his personal walk with God. And I thought about this a lot. With, you know, what we see going, we're going through the same thing. We're in the middle of a plague, right? It's affecting people's walk with God. It sure is. Yes, it is. And there's people walking away. They say they're not, but they are. And listen, you know, there's certain things we must do and certain things we can't do and certain things we need to do, or our relationship with God will be affected. Listen, you got to worship, man. You got to worship. There's got to be corporate worship. God planned it that way. You got to be in the Word of God. You've got to be in prayer. You've got to be, you know, I mean, there's things that if you don't have those things, your relationship with God is going to be affected. And we can't walk away from it. These things that affected him. But it really concerned him. I think that was really what is down in his heart. This is why he's crying out. That word crying out, you could talk about that all day. This is why he's crying out to God, because he knows that what's going on and what he thinks he sees is affecting his relationship with God somehow. It's affecting him somehow. So what could he do about it? Well, the third point is Habakkuk waiting. He was waiting. What can we do when things appear different than we expected them to appear? You know, we can't see what God is doing, or when we don't understand at least what we think God is doing. We'll see in verse chapter 2, verse 1, he said, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer. Look what he said, when I am reproved. he knew his thinking wasn't right. He said, you know what? I know I'm thinking this and I'm saying things to God, and I know God's right and I'm wrong, but I can't see it. And I know God's going to reprove me. He's going to straighten me out. He said, so I'm going to watch and wait and see what God's going to say to me when I'm reproved. He already knew. This is the only way he could help to think about it. It's the only way because it's what he saw. But see, then it's when God told him the just shall walk by his faith, right? What does the Bible tell us? The Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Why? Because if you walk by sight, you're going to see that rock that looks like it's in midair about to crash on the ground, when really that's not right. It's really just a picture that's just upside down, and you fixed it, right? So what? Why? He knows that he knows something about God. So he knows that what he's thinking, God being unjust, he knows that's not true. God being unconcerned, way down inside, he knew that wasn't true. God being inconsistent, he knew that wasn't true. But he said, this is the only way I can explain it. So what he said was, you know, he said, I got to wait. I got to watch. I got to watch, and I've got to wait and see what God's going to do. See, when we can't see what God is doing and we don't understand what God is doing, you know what we have to do? We have to just keep looking at God. You keep looking at God. He looked at in verse 1 of chapter 2, and I just read it to you. It said that he has set upon his watch and set me upon tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me. He got to listen, and he looked unto the Lord. And you know what they say when we're perplexed or in doubt, or even when, like, I think I spoke about this a few Wednesday nights ago. Revival is really this is what revival is. We get a new vision of God. It's not a new vision that didn't exist already. It's just looking at something from a different point of view, like we kind of been talking about already. We start to see some qualities or things about God, or maybe look at them just a little deeper than we ever did. And we start looking at or reviewing those things. It's why, you know, the Israelites, and you look in the Old Testament, they're great about repeating a lot of things. They would review them. We even got Old Testament stuff in the New Testament. That was even repeated. And there's things that we say, you know, that we would say. The whole Bible's been preached over and over and over again. I preach on the same text sometimes. I preach on some of them several times over and over again. Why do we do that? Because we have to keep reminding ourselves. We have to keep looking at the Word of God. And that, you know, and that's really what he had to do. And so he started, God will reveal himself. And sometimes we just have to get a different perspective on what we already know. And maybe review some things. And what he did, and you look in chapter 2, verse 12, he went on to say, he looked at some things. I'm sorry. Chapter 1, verse 12, I'm sorry. Chapter 1, verse 12, he said this, Are not thou from everlasting, O Lord, my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgment. Talking about the other people. O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of pure eyes, and to behold evil canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? And that's a question. And makest men as the fishes of the sea, as creeping things that have no ruler over them. He went on, he mentioned several things right there, and this is what he commented about God. He talked about God being from everlasting to everlasting. He talked about God being the Holy One. And he talked about God, one had ordained events in the world, or that of pure eyes. He talked about his pure eyes. And then even we see a little bit of him speaking about the creation, about the fishes there, that he's the creator right there. He went over those things in his mind. He said, God, this is who you are. This is what you are. These are things that I know. I think that's why when he got down to chapter 2 in that verse and he said, you know, I'm going to listen, watch, and wait and see what you say when you reprove me, because I know after I'm seeing this, but I know this. And the two aren't jiving. And he said, God, but you're going, you know, I need you to help me. And God doesn't always explain everything. You ever notice that? God, I've asked God questions. He's never explained them to me. I think, well, maybe when I get to heaven, maybe. We're walking by faith, though, right? We're supposed to walk by faith. God doesn't explain everything. But we notice right here that, you know, we're just told to walk by faith and not by sight. The just shall live by his faith. That's what he said. And the Lord assured Habakkuk of his grace, his glory, his government. And here's the difference. Listen, you know, sometimes we say, well, yeah, I got faith. I got faith. But are you living by it? See, having faith and living by faith really are kind of separate things. Probably not, but just for our little pea brains, I can get it straightened out. People say that, let's put it this way, we can say that we have faith. But you know, faith's always tried. Faith is always, in the Bible, it's always tried. You don't even know you have it. You say you have it, you think you have it, then you got to try it. And where's it at? It's always tried. So really, I guess having faith and living by faith are really not two different things if you really have it. But it says that we're to live by faith. Got it? Live by faith. Not just say that we have faith. It's not just a mental thing. You know that when we have faith, it's an action word. The Bible says that by faith that we overcome the world. By faith that we can overcome our fears. I mean, that's what the Bible teaches us that. Faith is not believing in spite of the evidence. It's obeying in spite of the consequences. That's what faith is. Faith is obeying in spite of the consequences. It doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter what the consequences are. If I don't do this or I do this, if this is what God says to do, then do it. That's real faith. God's watching. God is watching. God's watching everything that goes on. We've said this. When all this mess with the virus started, and I talked to preachers, pastors, I'll tell you what, the pastors went on my prayer list because of this. I didn't always, every day when I pray for the pastors, the ones that are preaching the word, preaching the truth, all over, because this is a nightmare to deal with as a pastor. And I pray every day for, this event caused me to pray for other pastors more on an everyday basis. But all this started, and pastors that I talked to, and Brother Harold and I talked on the phone one day for outside. I was outside walking around. I know I talked to him 45 minutes, and we started talking about, you know, God's a multitasker, folks. Listen, all this wickedness that we see ongoing in the world, and God's watching that, and God's going. Listen, God, the judge are going. The lost are going to be. They're judged already. The world is judged already. It is. And one day there's going to be the end of it. The day of grace will end right there. But listen, God's going to judge his people too. He's going to judge us for that. And all that, we talk about that wickedness in the world. And that, like I said, it's judged already. But listen, we better start wondering about ourselves. God's people, our wickedness. What's God going to do about it? Because he's not going to be mocked. And it's God's people that'll mock him. What's he going to do about it? The Bible says he chastens his own, right? He chastens his children. I didn't spank other people's kids, although I felt like it a few times. Nobody's looking. But we chasten ours, and that's what God chastens his children as well. And we see the judgment in Habakkuk. That's his judgment. This was God's people. It was judging God's people, not the world's wickedness. He used the world to judge them. And like I said, I was talking to pastors and Brother Harold and I talked. And when God multitasks, he's doing some things here. And I said, you know, one of the things all the pastors say this, God's shaking out the wheat and the tares a little bit right now. Yeah, we're finding out. We're finding out who the faithful are going to be. Who's going to be faithful to God? That's what we're finding out. And you know what? It's still a call. I think these things are still a call to the church. It's still a call to God's people. Man, that we need to repent. We need to get back in the house of God. We need to get back on our knees. We need to pray. We need to have revival in our midst, in our personal lives, in our churches. Listen, all these things, man, what's it going to take? How many catastrophes? How many calamities? How many plagues? How many bad luck experiences? There's no such thing as bad luck, by the way. How many bad things are going to happen before you wake up and say, hey, you know what? I better get back to God. I've done drifted away off. I like to see when it says Habakkuk, he cried out to God. That's a strong word. If you look it up, those words cry out. I mean, it's anguish. It's anguish. He's crying out to God about what he sees, what's going on, what's God got in store, what's God got planned. Look around. You better open your eyes and look around. Now, it's not all gloom and doom. Because God has an aim. What do you think God's aim is for his people? I mean, the fact that God doesn't just blow the whole thing up. God's aim is revival. Yeah. For us, and salvation for the lost and revival for the church. I believe it's going to be in the opposite order. Revival for the church before salvation for the lost. How are we going to win anybody to Christ? Yeah. How are we going to win anybody to Christ? We got to go up there. We got to get on our knees and start talking to God about ourselves. We got to deal with us. We can't go out there and talk to somebody else, some old lost sinner, about being saved when we got so many issues, spiritual issues in our own life. Generally speaking, we got to deal with us. God's goal is always for repentance and revival. That's what judgment for God always is. How long does it take? Somebody told me the other day, said, well, I spanked my child, but they just laugh at me. They don't listen. I said, well, it's a simple solution. You ain't spanking hard enough, honey. That's why mama went out to the peach tree and got one of them branches off of there, and when you had them shorts on, fired your legs up. Huh? Yeah. Ain't wasn't nobody laughing at the end of that deal. I'll tell you that right now, huh? My dad got the belt. Didn't matter whether I had pants on or not. No laughing. There was no laughing. And here's God's chastening hand. How long is it going? What's it going to take? More? Harder? Longer? What's it going to take to turn God's people back to God? Huh? That's what we see today. Let's all stand. Heads back. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today and for your warning as well, Lord. And we see you understanding. Help us have faith, Lord, understanding that you are watching, Lord, that you're in control, that you have a plan, and that plan will be fulfilled. And help us to see that, Lord. And I turn back to you in faith. Help us walk by faith and not by sight, Lord. Instead of us looking at the world, help us look within, Lord, look within ourselves and within our churches. Lord, that we can repent of whatever needs to be repented of and just put our faith and trust in you. Have your will and way in our invitation time now, Lord. We have the time the altar's open. I pray for those ones we need to gather down and pray. Pray for ourselves, our country. Lord, the condition of things. Pray for our church, our churches, God's people in general. Lord, help us. I ask in Jesus' name. Need to come to all